Morning. How's everybody doing today? Today I want to talk to you about a story that is found in the book of Luke. The story is only in this gospel, it's not found in the other three gospels. And it's about a Samaritan. And you have the story of the Good Samaritan in the other gospels, but this Samaritan is only mentioned in Luke. And please open your Bibles in Luke 17. Our story begins right there. And as you probably noticed, today we have a beautiful cross in the back and with the purple cloud and everything representing that this is the weekend that Christianity is having a big celebration, right? Sunday, we will have Resurrection Sunday. And today we had the day of rest for everybody, for Jesus and for us too. So it's a good day to worship our God. The story is found in Luke 17 and verse 11. And if you are kind enough, please open your Bibles and read with me. It's important that you got an encounter with the Bible today. Amen? So in verse 11, this is what the scripture says. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, they made him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off, and they lift up their voices and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that they were when they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there no 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there no found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go on your way, your faith has made you well." So like I mentioned, the story is a short story. It's found only in Luke. First, I need to make this explanation for the sake of maybe some of you who don't know. I'm pretty sure the majority of you know about leprosy. When the Bible explains leprosy, it's referring to any kind of skin disease. Any kind. Any kind of skin disease that you have in your body will give you the declaration of leprosy. A person like me, I suffer from a condition known as psoriasis. Is that the proper pronunciation? Psoriasis. Thank you, Gabriela. Gabriela, help me here. Psoriasis is that inflammation of the skin and your scalp and other parts of your skin become like flaky and white. And it's a very unpleasant thing to look around, and I suffer from this condition. Maybe some of you do too. The other day I was at Walmart and at the place where they sell the shampoos and different things for hair, for the hair, and I was talking to a lady, and she was mentioning to me, "Do you know anything that is good for the scalp? Because I'm having this problem." And I mentioned to her a particular brand of shampoo that I normally use in my condition. And this worked for one or two times, and then later it stopped working. I am the kind of person that I can wash my hair, and 2 or 3 hours later I have these flaky dandruff things in my clothes, and I really hate it. Do you have the same problem? None of you have that. Okay, good. And what a blessing. So lucky me. I am the only one here who had that situation. But I really, really hate it because, you know, it's not about hygiene. So maybe somebody, we used to talk to Denise and she's making fun of me. It's because you don't do the properly washing of your scalp that you have this condition. And that quite irritates me because I say, "Yes, I know what I'm doing when I'm taking a bath. And I'm pretty sure I wash my scalp. It's not that I don't do it right. It's because I have this thing that I don't know how to get rid of. And I wish I have a remedy to get rid of this condition." Well, if I was alive in the Old Testament, my condition maybe will be examined by one of the priests at the temple, and he will establish if my skin problem was leprosy or not. And the process was something like this. You will go to the temple and they will look at you and they will start examining. I'm using Mike as my volunteer here. And they notice your skin and they look at it and they say, you need to come back in 7 days. And Mike come back faithfully. And if the issue remains there, then the priest will say, well, this is leprosy, my friend. And bad news for you and your family. Now you need to leave town and leave the city and stay away from everybody because you are contagious. And not only contagious, but you are unclean. So, and that's it. That's the end of the story. No remedy, no solution. Stay away from everybody because you can make other people sick. And they were really, really afraid of this disease. Leprosy, like I mentioned, it was a wide range of skin issues. But the one that is mentioned in the Bible is the kind that is killing the muscle and skin tissue. And eventually the people who suffering from this, they start losing limbs and organs and things like that. And even today, some people suffer from this disease in some countries. So it's a disease that disfigures the human being because you lose parts of your body. You know, the most common parts to go first are the ears and the nose. You know, because you had soft tissue in these parts of your face. So I want you to picture here 10 people with a serious case of leprosy. Maybe some of them already had lost ears or fingers or nose, or I don't know. But they were very respectful of Jesus. And from the distance, they start talking to Jesus and say, listen, Jesus, can you help us? Because we have this problem. And what was Jesus' answer in the story? He didn't say much, right? Just go to the priest. Why to the priest? Because the priest is the one who can tell you if you can come back to live in society or not. And open your Bibles with me really quick here in Leviticus chapter 14. Because it's interesting when you start reading the whole process of cleansing for somebody with leprosy. So if you are kind, open your Bibles in Leviticus 14, and you will discover certain things in there that I want to share with you today. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing, and he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the leprosy is healed, and is the leper, then the priest shall command him to take for him who was cleansed to be cleansed and clean birth, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest still command that one of the birds be killed in a vessel, in an earthen vessel, over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them, and then the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle 7 times when him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy. So this is a very simple process. You know, you get 2 birds, go in front of the priest, kill one of the birds, and get the blood, and mix it with water, and this wood, and these other things. Bada boom, bada bop, get the water, sprinkle the guy 7 times, and you are now cleansed. Now you can come back to society. Question, how people notice in town that you were cleansed? Let's say that you live far away from the temple, that you don't live in Jerusalem, that you live in a small village 5 or 6 days away from Jerusalem. How they will notice that you were cleansed? That now you can come back to society, that you are no menace. Oh, okay, by the blood, but more than that, by a certificate, right? That the priest or somebody at the temple had to write and give you, and that you can prove in your village or in your town or wherever you were going and say, listen, now I am cleansed, and here is my certificate that demonstrates that the priest already had examined me and that my leprosy has gone away. So it was a very meticulous process. And they want to be sure that whoever get leprosy and whoever claim to be healed was indeed healed. Right? Why? Why there was so much certainty in this particular disease? Because there's no cure for that. And nobody wants to risk to get that kind of disease if you are not completely healed. Right? A few days ago, we have, we have a food washing here, and when the couples are there, and at the end, let's pray, you know, said, let's hold hands. And somebody asked me, did you wash your hands? And I did wash my hands, actually. You know, and when we were breaking the bread here in front of you, somebody asked in a loud voice, do these people really wash their hands? And I just want to give you some comfort. Yes, we wash our hands, you know, before we break in the bread. So don't worry. You are not eating anything that is unhealthy, or we don't want to risk your life. But I would like to recommend to whoever made the bread next time that please break the pieces so I don't have to touch it with my hands. So you have more peace of mind and, you know, getting the bread and you feel like we are doing something safe here. But the reason that in the Bible the people want the certainty about leprosy is because it was contagious and it was mortal, it was lethal, and they didn't have any cure. In fact, the Bible mentioned like two or three cases in the Old Testament that people was cured from leprosy. Do you remember? One is Miriam. As a punishment, she got leprosy, and then God healed her. And what was the reason that God gave her leprosy, by the way, to Miriam? For what? And how is that called? Exactly. She was a gossiper. Backbiter. A person who liked to speak evil of their brothers and brethren, you know, in their backs. You know, fortunately, we don't have anyone like here, like that. So don't worry, you won't get leprosy for that condition. The other person that is healed from leprosy is a foreigner. And he used to be in the army, you remember, a Syrian army. What is the name of this guy? Amen. And what was the cure for this guy? Very good. Seven times in the river. You remember that he was upset for that? We had better rivers in my country and had to be in this muddy river. And seven times. Why seven times? Why seven? Why not five? Or why? Well, thank you, Marcus, for that. That we make a lot of sense. But in reality, I don't have a more or better answer than that, you know. That's what God established. He says seven through his prophet. And when God says something, if you want to get better, you have to what? To obey, to listen, right? So you don't have a lot of examples in the Bible of people who had leprosy that had been healed. But here in the New Testament, you had this case where 10 men are sick, and I guess they give companion to each other because they were destituted from society. They hear that Jesus has healed some people from leprosy, and they approach this town. They didn't enter the town. From far away, they start talking to Jesus and asking him to help them. So Jesus, instead of saying a prayer or putting their hands, touching them, or doing something like he used to do, he only tells them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Wash is an act of faith, right? Because the only reason that you will go to the temple to show yourself to the priest is because you are what? Because you are clean now, that you are healed. Were these people healed when Jesus told them, go show them to the priest? No. They continue having leprosy, right? When the miracle happened? When they were in their way to show into their priest. So it requires faith, right? It didn't happen right away when they pray or they ask Jesus. It happened in the way when they were getting close to Jerusalem. Now, Luke is presenting this miracle here, and this is near Jesus' death at the cross. This is one of the last events that happened before his death at the cross. So it is important for us to remember several details. Number one, they were going to talk to the priest, and they discovered that the leprosy was healed. They were better now. What was destruction? Jesus told them, go and show yourselves to the priest, right? But one of them, he decided that he didn't want to go and show to the priest. Why? Well, number one, he was a Samaritan. what kind of welcome a Samaritan will have at the temple? Very good, Marcus. Probably they wouldn't let him speak to the priest. Because he was what? He was a foreigner. Right? He didn't belong to Israel. So for him, talking to a priest, it didn't make a lot of what? A lot of sense. For the others, maybe it will make a lot of sense because they were Jewish people. And they want to be reestablished into the society, into the church, or whatever the practices that they used to do. But for this foreigner, it didn't make a lot of sense. But Luke continues saying that the reason that he came back to talk to Jesus was because he was full of glory and he was want to say thank you to his Savior, right? You remember the story is telling you that he came back and he was screaming and he was giving glory to God. And once he gets close to Jesus, what he does? Get in front of him and start worshiping Jesus. That's something unusual to see, right? When was the last time that you see a human being worshiping another human being? Doesn't happen, right? That often. But in this case, this man is acknowledging Jesus not as a human being, but what? As God. That's a difference right there. He's acknowledging Jesus as God. So, first lesson for us in this story is that when you have gratitude in your heart, you can go back to God and worship Him with all your heart. That makes sense? Why you do the things that you do here at church? Because you had gratitude where? In your heart. You are happy for the things that God has done for you and for your family, right? And it's good to keep this gratitude alive because I feel that in many cases, we let that go out. We continue coming to church, but we don't come back here with gratitude. We come because it's a practice. It's like tomorrow. A lot of people will go to church. They will dress really well, and they will look beautiful. And it's a beautiful day to go to church, you know. But they don't go there because they want to say thank you to God. It's because it's a tradition, right? And after church, what they will do? Well, they go out and have a nice dinner and a nice meal, and you don't see them in church anymore the rest of the year until Christmas or Thanksgiving, right? So, is God expecting more than us? What do you think? Indeed, I feel that God is expecting more from us. How much gratitude do you have in your heart for God? Do you feel that He is working in you, that He has blessed you? Do you have things to say thank you? Because that makes a big difference. When you have somebody that is quite engaged in God's work, the majority of the times this person is engaged in doing these things because he feels grateful. And when you feel grateful, you want to do whatever you can for God. Because it doesn't matter what we do for Him. We will never be able to repay Him, right? But anyway, we do our best to say thank you, Lord. So that's the story in this case. And I feel related to this man in an interesting way because I'm a foreigner. And when you are a foreigner, then a lot of people remind you your place. Right? You have some good people that want to remind you that you are a foreigner. That you don't belong with us. That you are not like us. You weren't born here. You don't have our traditions. You don't look like us. You don't speak like us. And you don't belong to us. Some people will say it in a very educated way, and others will say it in a mean and ignorant way. But they are trying to put you in your place, right? I got bad news for you guys. You are all foreigners here. Because your citizenship don't belong here on earth. According to the Bible, your citizenship belongs in heaven. So you are a citizen of heaven. So don't expect that they will treat you well, okay? But even when we are foreigners, we can be grateful to God, right? And so why he come back to Jesus? Why he didn't obey Jesus? Well, it's a bigger point in there. Who is your high priest? That's right. So when he say, go and show yourself to the priest, he was showing himself to the priest, right? The priest that healed him. The priest that was praying for him. The priest that can give him a new opportunity in life. When you read Hebrews, you discover that Jesus is interceding for you and for me daily. And that's important to remember that. There is somebody praying for you, that your faith continues strong, that you don't give up, that you maintain your promises and that you want to continue walking with God. And that person is Jesus. And for that reason, we have to be grateful too. Amen? When you are reading in the original Greek in the Bible, you discover that the author of the gospel, he used a word for being healed. When he was walking toward Jerusalem to present to the priest, he was healed. But they use a word that the context or the meaning of this word is when you are healed in a physical way. I have a broken arm or I have some kind of disease and I get healed. That's the word that they will use for that kind of situation. But when he came back and started talking to Jesus and praising him and worshiping him, then Jesus says something interesting to him. Let's go read it again. Because I think it's a beautiful message there in Luke 17. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are there? They are the 9, I'm sorry. Were there not any found who return and give glory except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And some Bibles say your faith had healed you, but the meaning of this word is your faith had made you complete, whole. Now you are not only healed from outside, but you are now healed from inside. The root of this word is the same word that they use for salvation. You remember in James chapter 5, when somebody is sick at church, that we need to call the elders and they will anoint you and pray for you. You remember that? We studied that several weeks ago. And the prayer of the righteous will heal the person, make you whole. So God is concerned not only with your physical aspect, but also with your spiritual and your emotional part too. Amen? So in the case of this man, he received a bigger blessing, right? What was the bigger blessing? He was not only healed from leprosy, but now he was healed in his spiritual side too. Because now he had an encounter with God, with Jesus, with his Savior. And what was the result of that? What happened when somebody is completely healed, when it makes you whole again? Well, that you are able to witness for Jesus in a better way. Amen? You can tell others what God is doing in your life or what God has done in your life. Think about this. The faith of this man making complete. Why his faith? Think about that. This man have any evidence that Jesus was God? Yes, he had an evidence. What was the evidence? The cure of his disease. The miracle, right? But remember, evidence doesn't mean that it's absolute proof. It's only pointing in one direction. So God is revealing to this foreigner that the person that healed him is not a prophet. It's more than a prophet. It's God. You don't think it is interesting for us today to remember that? So the man, with gratitude in his heart, come back to Jesus, say, thank you for healing me, start worshiping him. And Jesus is explaining to him, now you are a complete human being. Some people approach God because they want to be healed for a physical malady or disease or problems that we can have, you know. And God, in occasions, answers our prayers, our selfish prayers, right? We ask God, heal my friend, or heal my mom, or heal my brother or my sister. No, in reality because I want to give my heart to God. It's because I want to benefit from God. But deeper than the physical healing is the spiritual healing that we need. All we need. You would like to receive that? That's my question for you today. You would like to be whole completely. A few days ago, I was visiting in Charlotte because we were having a meeting there at a conference. And the reason that I go to this meeting is because we study the different groups and companies and churches that have been organized in Carolina. This committee's name is the Church Planting Committee. So during the committee, you have different group of people who come there and say, listen, I have a group of people in my house, and we want to be acknowledged as a group. We want for future plans to be a company and maybe later to be a church. You know, that's their plan, that's their dream. And you hear the story, what they are doing, what is their strategy, how they are planning to accomplish these things. And it's interesting to listen to all these people. But in the last meeting, at the last presentation, we have a gentleman. It was a Hispanic guy. His name is Jorge. And this guy was there like around 5 o'clock. So we were ready to go home. But then they give him the chance to make his argument for the group that he was trying to plant in a small town here in South Carolina. And I was paying attention, and it was a quite emotional presentation. He seems like a person that he was really on fire, and he was telling us that this project that he is doing here in South Carolina is his fourth church planting. That he had planned at least 3 other churches in different places. 2 in Maryland, and 1 here in North Carolina, and the second one here in South Carolina. And that, you know, kind of like caught my attention, because this guy, like you, he worked full times, and right now that we are getting longer hours, he worked in different kind of things. He does construction, he does washing houses, he does concrete, he's a driver, he does a lot of things to support his family. And somehow he finds time to plant churches. So what do you think about that? It's interesting, right? So I was listening to him, and finally the committee was convinced that the way that this group is moving, it seems like they had potential to develop into a new church. And they gave him the go ahead with his plans. So when we go outside, I was talking to Jorge and say, brother, that's a very interesting story, that the one that you were telling us inside. And he was really on fire. He was very enthused, explaining to me the things that he's doing in there. I say, you don't want to go to Aiken with me. You know, I need somebody like you to help me in Aiken. Now, he said, well, let's pray about that, Pastor. Right now, I have to do this work here first. But the reason that I mentioned this is because I asked him, why are you doing these things? And then he's the one who tell me, it's because I have a very grateful heart for what Jesus has done in my life. And when I remember all the things that he has done in my life, this is the way that I'm trying to pay back all the things that he had done in my life. I didn't say anything else to this man, but that made me think a lot. And I feel it's a correlation between gratitude and work for God. Do you agree with me? Or do you disagree? Feel free to disagree with me. We can talk outside. But if you agree with me, then you have to realize there is a correlation between your gratitude and the amount of work that we do for God. When you are grateful, you will do your best. When you forget what God has done for you, then we continue in our own ways. Amen? No, don't say amen to that. Please don't continue in your own ways. Let's go back to the part that we are working for God. So the story today, the main point of the story today is to remind you and remind myself that somebody who have a deep spirit of worship and gratitude to God, it will do whatever it can to help the kingdom. Amen? In the story of this man, the one who was healed from leprosy, we discover that God will heal you and help you, regardless of your response. In other words, God continues working miracles for people that don't really care much for Him. Can you believe that? And it's sad to see how people respond to these miracles. This week, I was reading in the news about a young man in Atlanta, Georgia, who died in a car crash when he was escaping from police. And he was escaping from police because he just broke into a house, shot somebody in the house, was robbing the house, and the police was notified, and he escaped with a stolen vehicle, and in the escape, he hit a pedestrian and lost the control of the car and crashed, and as a result of the crash, he died. That's a very tragic story, right? Right there, you can say, but that's not the whole story. That's only part of the story. This young man made headlines because he received a heart transplant 2 years ago. And the organization who gave him the heart, at the beginning, they reject him because he had a really bad behavioral issues. Bad grades, issues with drugs, issues with crime, issues with society. But it happens that this young man was African-American. And now that we are discussing about race in this country so much, some of the people argue at the time, well, he is not receiving help because he is African-American. And the whole story made me think a lot about this. Anyway, somehow the hospital finally gave him a heart from a donor with the hope that this young man will change his life around and will do something better with his life. But the story ends in this tragic way. Some of the people who was reading the story and were commenting were saying, what a waste, right? But I want you to think about this. Are not we the same? Rescued by mercy from God, sinners with leprosy in our hearts, bad people, twisted. God gave us a second chance to try to do better. And we try just for a little while, but then later we come back to our old ways and abandon God. That never happened to you? Well, it happened to me. And then when you realize that, we are not much different than from this young man, right? Why we are like that? What do you think? And my conclusion is this. We are selfish. We forget the big favors that we receive from God. And we lack of gratitude. We forget that God is the reason that we are here in this church sitting today is because God has saved us. So please don't ever forget that. Especially this weekend, right? That we are celebrating the death of Jesus Christ at the cross. That we are saved because somebody gave his life for you and for me. And that's important to remember. Amen? So may God continue blessing you and inspiring you. And if you can learn something from the story of this Samaritan, you remember that have a grateful heart is a very important thing. Amen?